Welcome to ACN.
Your host, Kathleen Williams, and it is great to be here with you tonight, Sunday, March 3rd, 2013. What a wonderful evening. And do you believe that it's already March? People are sending me invitations to things that are happening like in May and June. I'm like, whoa, pump the brakes. It's almost the middle of the year already. And I think I was like just at the New Year's service at church the other day. I mean, like, my God, time is flying. Anyway, I hope you had a phenomenal day today. I hope you had a tremendous first quarter of 2013. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about a little bit tonight. Because one of the things that I have been looking at for, for quite a few years, has been my health and really improving my health and transforming my weight, improving my life, just basically looking at over the years and how many years, you know, you think about what age you are and do you have more years in front of you than you have behind you? That's an interesting question to ponder. But at any rate, we're looking at 2013, and as we dive into the second quarter of the year, I've been looking at what can I do to make sure that this is one of my healthiest years ever, emotionally, spiritually, physically, all of those things. So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit tonight. Where are you and what is it that you want to accomplish? So I'm excited about that, and we'll be talking about it, and hopefully you all will call in at 909-265. Well, not call in. You're already on the line, but hopefully you'll press 1 and join me in the conversation, 909-265-9189. The call-in number again is 909-265-9189. And I am going to have us take a really quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Again, my name is Kathleen Williams. You are listening to Professional Style, and thanks so much for joining me tonight. I look forward to chatting with you. We'll be back in just a second.
Welcome to Esprinet News, Spotlight in Black History. Contrary to popular belief, one black family did sail on the Titanic. Haitian native Joseph Philippe Le Mercier LaRoche came from a rich and powerful family. His uncle was the president of Haiti. Joseph could speak two languages, and he had an engineering degree but could not find a job because of his color. He and his wife decided to take their daughters, Simone and Louise, to visit his mother. They made a second-class reservation on the Titanic at the last minute, Joseph's wife and kids did survive on the April 15, 1912 voyage when the ship hit an iceberg and began to sink. LaRoche loaded his pregnant wife, Juliet, and two daughters into Lifeboat 14 just before the ship sank at 2:20 a.m. Joseph and 1,500 other passengers would go down with the ship. Now, in 1918, 6 years after the death of her husband, the White Star Line awarded LaRoche $22,119. In 1980, Juliet LaRoche died at age 91. I'm Jerome Esprit for Espritnet News. This is our spotlight in Black history on ACN.
My collection is made of all the things that make me. You can tell my block got bigger, but I always remember where I started. And it feels great to move forward without leaving yourself behind. From uptown to downtown, it's all part of my style. I'm right where I'm supposed to be, thanks to where I've been. My style tells my story.
Introducing the Jennifer Lopez Collection, only at Kohl's.
How does it feel to try smooth, delicious Hershey's chocolate with 30% less fat? Yeah! A smooth, delicious cause for celebration. New Hershey's Simple Pleasures Chocolate. 30% less fat, 100% delicious.
Dear Honda, thanks for getting my friend Lisa a deal on her Odyssey at your holiday sales event. She's got 5 boys, so the Bluetooth comes in handy.
I have to cancel.
Plus, it's got a rear-view camera and seating for the ladies.
It's Christmas time in Holly Queens. Mom's cooking chicken and collard greens. Rice and soup and macaroni and cheese.
More happiness and standard features with every Honda during Happy Honda Days. Get a great deal on the 2013 Odyssey at your Honda dealer.
Look at these pictures. Okay, your hair was so beautiful last night. What did you do?
I stopped using heat. So I set my hair with wraps that move. It makes my hair look so rich. And then I finished with glossy polisher so I don't frizz on the dance floor. And I'm good to go.
It's still looking good today.
Well, we all look good.
Yeah. Ladies, we had a blast.
Yeah.
Organic Root Stimulator, nature's secret to healthier style hair.
Welcome back to Professional Style. I'm your host, Kathleen Williams, and it's a pleasure to bring in my co-host for this evening and the producer of our show, Mr. Jerome Esprit of EspritNet News Radio. Welcome, Jerome. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you here. How's everything going?
Everything is, you know, in a 70s kind of way, everything's everything.
Everything is everything.
That's how we say. I had to bring that back. Everything is everything.
Everything is everything. That's right. Hey, you know, I was just talking in the intro a little bit about the fact that, can you believe it's March already? And we're, like, moving into the first quarter of the year. I don't know for you, but it seems like the time has really gone by pretty fast. I got some invites to some programs at the end of May and June already. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. You know, I think about that every time, because it's Girl Scout cookie time, too, because it's March Madness and all of that stuff. Like, yeah.
March Madness.
Yeah. So you know, basketball people love, like, tournament time. So, this is it.
Yes, indeed. And mint cookies. And that brings me right to the topic that I was talking about, which is perfect to just kind of weave in the conversation about quantum as well. And I was talking about this year for 2013, I have been focusing on every aspect of being healthy and looking at how I want to move forward with not protecting my health, but advancing my health for this year. So some of the things that I've been looking at are my diet, my cooking, and when I say my diet, I mean literally not dieting, but diet in the sense of the things that I eat and have chosen to eat. So I've been looking a lot at whether or not to eat, you know, organic, what things organic I'd like to eat, if I'm going to eat meat, what kind of meat to eat and so forth. So I've been doing a lot of research on that, looking at my supplements and just being a lot healthier. So I've been on a juicing regimen for the last couple of weeks, and it's been really awesome in the sense that it was a phenomenal cleansing. You know, it's almost like I could feel the cells in my body lightening up a little bit in the sense of, you know, just cleansing out toxins, cleansing out, like, just mucus that may have built up over the year from the winter as you change seasons. I always think that it's a good idea to do a cleanse, cleansing liver, cleansing kidneys, and cleansing colon and all those things. So it's been really a great experience, and the juicing has been phenomenal. I've been juicing stuff that I never even, because greens I never even really heard of before. And it's been really a great experience, and it tastes really good too. So I don't know about anybody who's listening who might be interested in looking into that, but there's a tremendous amount of books if you're interested in doing some juicing and how that can help your cells, revitalizing your cells. I've noticed that my skin has cleared up a lot, and it's been really great, and I'm excited about that, and noticing a lot of changes that are happening just seamlessly and really easy. And like you were telling me, Jerome, when we talked about literal weight issues and trying people wanting to lose weight, that I noticed that just a transformation of my thought process has been just kind of seamless with the juicing. So there's not, you know, there's no hunger, there's no fatigue, there's no discomfort. It's just cool. It's really great. It's really great. So I'm enjoying that part of it. So what I would love to hear from you is a little bit more about how quantum works in with health and diet and so forth. It can be like a continuation of the conversation we had with Dr. Sherry a couple weeks ago.
Quantum in a quantum living kind of way doesn't adhere to diets. So let me say that first. Your mind kind of determines what your appetite is, just like it determines what you will and won't, you know, lose in weight. So it is always how you see your activity. Now, if you believe that you need to have a diet to lose weight, you have to have a diet to lose weight. If you don't believe that you need a diet, you won't need a diet to lose weight. It's kind of how your body works. So in a quantum mechanics kind of way, you're influencing your cells to believe whatever it is that you think. You can tell yourself to lose 15 pounds and lose 50 pounds just as easy as you can in a diet. I know.
And I love hearing you say that, because I know most people will be like, yeah, right. You know, like, I need to lose 300. I know a friend of mine was telling me the other day, just to lose 110 pounds. Not have to, but that she wants to lose 110 pounds. And it was highly recommended by physicians and so forth that she lose 110 pounds. And she's been, you know, nervous about how she can begin to lose 110 pounds, which is a significant amount of weight. Is what she was saying, that, you know, that's a whole body, you know. And so just the thought of having to embark upon an endeavor like that can be intimidating to some people. And so there's so much out there that says, well, you have to do this and you have to do that and you got to be in a program and you got to journal what you're eating and you got to bug out and you got to. And then to hear you say, well, all you got to do is think about it, that will take a little adjusting for some people, wouldn't you know? So talk about that a little bit.
Yes, but medical science just says that if you don't believe it, we usually use supplements like we do for vitamins. We usually use supplements when you don't believe something. So if you believe that your foot hurt, you take an aspirin, right? Now, the aspirin may not help your foot. It's just that it actually tells your mind that your foot is going to be okay, so you relax and your body actually reacts. So if your elbow hurts, you take an aspirin. You have a headache, you take an aspirin. If you have anything, you can take an aspirin for, but to remember that the way aspirin works generally is it gets you to believe that your body is healing itself. So it's kind of like using a placebo at the same time.
Now, I was just going to bring that up.
Yes, and so this is nothing new. It's actually been field tested. I could have actually called someone to tell you a easy story about that. I remember explaining quantum to a friend of mine, and she said she wanted to lose 30 pounds, and it was, I think, I forgot, like 3 months or something, but she said she wanted to lose like 30 pounds. And I was talking to her on the phone, and the irony is that she was actually eating pork rinds. Now, she runs, by the way. She's like an avid runner and stuff, and she said, I want to, because I've been kind of tired and lazy, and I'm eating, you know, pork rinds watching my child's football game. But she said, and I haven't been working out. And I explained to her how you do that in a quantum way, in a spiritual way, is to let go of your anxiety about having weight and just say you want to lose the weight and leave it alone. And 3 months later to the date, she called me back and she said, I hadn't stepped on a scale. I didn't look at anything. And people kept telling her she was losing weight. She didn't change her eating habits. She didn't do anything. And she said, I had to call you because I stepped on a scale and I lost 30 pounds exactly from that day.
Wow.
Yeah. Because it's your belief system, right? And so whatever you don't believe, you actually set in motion. So if you don't think that you can do something, you probably can't do it.
We know that to be true.
Right, and so we have to have those examples of success stories to say, hey, if that person could do it, I can do it. But she didn't have the resistance because I've known her for years, and she kind of trusted the words. And she said, really, is that how it works? And I said, yes. And she did. And recently, actually, I want to say over the weekend, a friend of mine I hadn't seen in years, she said, she asked me, how much do I sleep? And I said, about 4 or 5 hours a night, which she was still kind of amazed at. And I said, I haven't used an alarm clock since junior high school. And that was kind of amazing to her. And I said, yeah, your body will wake you up. So if you look at a clock before you fall asleep, all you have to, but don't open your mouth and say it, but all you have to say to yourself is, I want to get up at, and name the time while you're looking at the clock. And your body hears everything you think.
And you know, that's so funny. I'll tell you that there have been some times when I had to go to bed later than I desired. And vitally important that I'm up, you know, in a couple of hours. So there have been times where, at some of those times, I just say, you know what, I'm not even going to go to sleep because I know I won't wake up. And then there were other days where I was like, okay, you know what, we're just going to take a quick nap. You know, 2 hours, we're going to get up, blah, blah, blah. And inevitably, when the decision is made, you know, and really believing in it, this decision is made to get up, I will wake up. So but I haven't gotten to the point. I'm not at a point yet where I can say for sure that I'll wake up 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. every morning unless I create that as a habit. And once it becomes habit, then I know I wake up at the same time every day.
right.
no matter what.
Right. It's because you feel like you need to program yourself. But how do you program yourself unless you tell yourself to do it first? So the belief system kind of works based on your willingness to give up the fact that you can't do something. So we normally operate spiritually from an expectation aspect of what we can't do. And so we've been conditioned to be that way. There's no one's it's not something that's new to us, but we operate from this place of things we can't do first opposed to exploring the things that we can do.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. I'm going to agree with that.
Right.
Go ahead.
So that's why you have to change your words, right? And so that's why that's very important when you even explain something about how your body works. You can't say things like, or you shouldn't say things like, you can say whatever you want, but you shouldn't say things from a negative aspect of, well, I normally can't do something, because no matter how you try to clear that up on the positive side, can't is always going to be in the forefront of your thoughts, even when you're trying to do something. So people who say, I try to diet, it never works for them, because the word try inside of that implies something, that it's a struggle.
It's going to be hard, right.
Which means it won't be successful unless it's hard for you. And who wants, you shouldn't voluntarily make things hard for you.
Say that again. Because I really want to talk about that. Say that one more time.
Right. So when you start to do affirmations or anything that positive that you want to do, whenever you use words like try or attempt, it's almost like saying that you can't do it. So you put the amount of barriers on your success all the time by saying, I'm going to try to do something to be successful, but it's going to be hard. If you work hard, you'll succeed. Every time you put something in front of it, it is by universal law spiritually that it will have to be hard for you to succeed. So you have to kind of, even as children, stop telling your children, when you work hard, you'll be successful. Because it's going to require them working hard to be successful more than you need to just tell them you're going to be successful.
That's powerful.
Yeah, you don't have to work hard. You're smart. Just be smart. Be successful. And whatever
and
it takes
to
do that, it will work for you.
Well, as well, many of our parents, I know my parents were quick to say that it does take really hard work, you know, and that was kind of the thing. So you kind of get to a point, you know, kids, and I know I got to a point where I was saying things like, well, if it is not hard, then it is not successful.
Worth it. Yes.
Yes, it's not worth it, and it's not. It definitely won't become successful. So I know that it has to be. It's going to have to be hard. And also, there's kind of a real quirky flip side to that, that almost says, and if it's going to be so daggone hard, you're probably not going to be able to do it anyway. So there's, you know, there's this thing that we kind of do to our kids that does set them up for failure by having them believe those things. So I appreciate having this conversation. This is good.
Right. And it's almost like setting an expectation, right? And I think what happens, we're so used to conditioning ourselves by the worst standards, like by the worst examples of standards. For example, people will say things like, I don't want you to be lazy like that person. Like, it's like,
yep.
Why would you make the comparison to think that anybody is lazy to begin with? Right? You implant that in someone before they actually become it. So you condition people to be a certain way if they actually begin to believe what it is that you say.
Uh-huh.
Right? So when someone trusts you, you really have to watch your words to them, because that will leave an imprint of, you know, believability to some, you know, they trust you. So if you say, you know, you're not that smart, they're going to actually kind of believe you if you say it enough.
If you say it enough, that's absolutely right. And the same thing goes with our health, with our weight, with our everything else that, you know, our families, all of that. You know, telling people, okay, so if you eat this, you're going to get diabetes. If you eat that, you're going to have high blood pressure. You know what I mean? You just kind of condition people to. And it's like, oh, well, shoot, it must be really good if it's going to cause that much problem. So, you know, and then what are they supposed to do if they do eat those things? Because it's quite possible to eat, you know, not like I want to promote fried chicken or things like that. You know, there are certain things that I really just don't choose not to eat, but it is not written in stone that if you eat a particular item that you're going to end up with a particular disease as a result of it.
Well, and disease is in a spiritual sense. I want to quote Dr. Candace Perk for this. She's a brain surgeon. She has a couple of patents on peptides, right? And so she said that a disease is just a condition. It's like a dis-ease. There is something else in your mental thought that creates disease in your body. So whenever, think of disease as a discomfort, and they're always stimulated by mental, most of the time, stimulated by mental thought. For example, if you have, I don't know, high blood pressure or arthritis, it's usually caused by attitude. So if you grit your teeth a lot or find yourself clenching your fist and always, you know, tense, your blood will crystallize, which will create arthritic conditions in your body. So your attitudes actually create the conditions of your body for any type of disease. It's a discomfort of your the environment is created to facilitate such things in your body. So it is our environment as well. We don't ever want to get away from that. There are some bad things out there, and you can't overconsume of anything that is going to leave toxins in your body because we have a lot of toxins. But your body, you really do have to create the conditions for those toxins to thrive as well.
You say that again. You have to create the conditions
for
those
toxins
to thrive.
Right. For anything to thrive and to crystallize in your body, it has to be the right conditions. It's like baking a cake, right? You have to have the right ingredients and the right mixture for something to take effect. So you can have everyone eat, you know, all kind of cheese and dairy and whatever, and they don't have, what is it called? They're not lactose intolerant. And then there are some people who body conditions have the right, you know, combination that creates a lactate problem. So you can't say it's the cheese that's causing the lactate problem all the time, although it is contributing. I guess if you didn't eat dairy, you wouldn't be susceptible to it, I guess. But your body holds the key to how the environment affects it. So you are affecting your body, and then the environment affects your body, you know, at the same time.
Right.
But you are the first line of defense about how your body reacts.
But how your body reacts to all of
to everything, to the whole to the whole atmosphere, yes.
Right.
Your whole if you think of your body just kind of as its own own ecosystem, you will find that how you treat it, and it's what your beliefs are, right? If you eat a salad, you think you're being healthy, so your body thinks it's healthy. It's not necessarily the salad that does that. It's because you are believing that it's healthy, so your body perfectly flushes out everything that it doesn't like. I mean, you can get a splinter, and if you put a Band-Aid on it, it'll work itself back out your body. Your body will reject the splinter. You don't really have to dig in there and go get it. So your body is kind of perfect that way, as long as you're healthy. But when you're not healthy and you don't believe that you're healthy, then, you know, other things will happen.
That's a hard place for, there I am right now. That's a different place for people to be in, a different mindset. So how do you recommend that, you know, someone listening who's saying, oh, that's absolutely crazy, you know, how do you recommend, or they may say, it sounds interesting and I'd like to try it, but I don't know where to begin. Where would someone begin with being easier on themselves and on their bodies to be more in tune with their health and being able to create the environment where they can accomplish those things, like weight loss.
Not only is that a good question, that's a difficult question to answer. So I'll just say it this way. I can't give it to you as far as food and health is concerned. I have to give it to you in the bigger picture. So to help your health is to help your life in general and help your relationships and help your interaction, because they're all connected. So the way you start is to follow your joy. Do things that you like. Talk about things that make you laugh. And the happier you are, the happier you'll be. And when you're happy and when you have more positive expression in your life, you won't start to, you know, focus on those things that create angst in your body. So your health will directly be affected by the happiness that you have external than looking at your health, right? There would be no reason to look at the health of your own body if you are already happy, because your body would actually respond to you being happy. So all I can say is, if there's anything to practice initially, is to do things that you enjoy. Wake up in the morning and be thankful that you're there, but most of your time should be spent at focusing on something that you want to focus on. Don't let your day or TV dictate what your morning is going to be like. So most people wake up in the morning with things that they had on their mind from yesterday, right? What didn't I do yesterday? That's how they start their day. Mm-hmm. Instead of affirming what it is that they wanted to do today, they say, what did I leave from yesterday? That's already a negative expression because you didn't do something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? So the way to kind of get your mental health right first will help your physical health, because that's where it stems from. Your mental health is your body is just a physical manifestation of your thoughts, of your mental thoughts. And I don't know an easier way to say that. I guess I could have started the whole conversation differently to make that point, but it seems foreign, and you're right. It would be difficult to explain to someone, but I guess you would have to ask the question with me, to have me say that in a way that it can be heard. But you would, instead of sending you to someone spiritual or reading this book or that book or learning universal laws of spirituality, instead of reading all that stuff, I can just tell you that the happier you are, the happier you can be. So you have to follow things that make you happy instead of finding your happiness by making other people make you happy.
Wow. Okay, one more time.
Yes. You have to make yourself happy. Don't wait for other people to make you happy. So don't call your friends and say, listen, I want to go out. I need to go out to dinner. How come you guys aren't participating in my happiness? It doesn't work that way. Your mm-hmm. happiness depends on what you deem to make you happy. And whatever that is, then you follow your own bliss. So your bliss is all your decision. But when you leave it to someone else's decision, and that's always problematic.
Yeah. Now, one of the reasons that I think it's important to bring this up now is because no matter where you look, who you're listening to, whether it's Dr. Oz or Oprah, people are talking about how stress has become one of the, foremost things that causes a lot of the dis-ease in a lot of people's bodies. And even in nursing school, we talked about disease as dis-ease. As
right.
Just kind of like there's something happening that's wrong, that is a lack of ease, right? Dis
right.
and
mm-hmm.
ease in your body. And so because of the increasing levels of stress in our society today based on, you know, increased work, change in environment, just so much is changing, and the our society being so much more rapidly paced than it used to be. So we're kind of, you know, moving into a new age and adjusting to the new age at the same time. So various things will lead to stress, and stress oftentimes leads to a feeling of unhappiness or discomfort, right? Dis-ease and discomfort. And those things combined, as if they fester long enough, can lead to exactly what you're saying, which is, you know, the decrease in happiness and people looking for ways to make themselves happy or looking for people to make them happy. And just, in, you know, abiding in that place for a long period of time does have a physical manifestation. Would you agree with that?
Yes. And this is not something new, right? It's been field tested and road tested and all of that stuff. So this is just not a conversation on theory. It's interesting that the medical profession is finally coming around to it. I have you know, Dr. Oz bring people on, and even Oprah bring, you know, people on, like Esther Hicks and Shar Margolis, who's a medium, and bring those people on. We're coming into a spiritual age, and I know over the years people have been always mischaracterizing the Mayan calendar, you know, 12/21/2012 thing. But what that prophecy was is that we would evolve spiritually. We'll respond. We're going into a new age. And so everything is going faster. Technology is going rapidly fast. Our expansions are going rapidly fast. But our mental capacity also, from the amount of information that we can absorb, has also expanded as well. So we are actually smarter, and we can hear things that we could not hear before. So that's why all of the spiritual talk is actually taking hold, because there's actually power in it. So it's interesting. Mainstream has picked up, and even medicine. They won't do surgery on you in a lot of hospitals now. If you come in there with a bad attitude, they'll say, wait till tomorrow, because they know your body won't respond on the table if someone puts you under anesthesia and tries to wake you up. If you create too much tension and angst in your body, their success rate is lower. So no doctor wants to lose a patient. So if you come in there with too much angst, they'll just pretty much tell you, nope, bring some loved ones, come back tomorrow, we're going to reschedule you. It's funny to see that they do that now. Before, not so much.
Not so much, yeah. And I actually didn't know that, but it so makes sense. Because I know I've not wanted to go on the table, you know, on certain days, you know, with certain feelings, or, you know, hey, you know what, something just doesn't feel right today. And, you know, it, as difficult as it is to reschedule a surgery, you'd be better off to schedule it on a day.
But they make you reschedule now, though. Right. It used to be the patients would say, nah, I don't really feel like it. The physicians will actually make you reschedule if they think that your attitude is bad going into the surgery. They do it.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yes. Yeah, and again, that's something new. They never would do that. But even science is kind of, you know, have started to see the data on that, and they're saying, hey, wait a minute. You are controlling this thing. We are just assisting. So, you know, you have a lot more control than you think you do. Even in your sleep, you know, your subconscious, you are affecting your body. So if you come in with too much tension in your body, no matter what they do, you are still affecting it. So they want you to bring a loved one. They want you to be hopeful. They try to be a little bit more hopeful. Whatever we can do to make your day pleasant before you get in here is fine, but they don't like too much negative before you go in to surgery.
Well, it makes sense. It makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. I was not aware of that, but that makes perfect sense. I'm telling you. And, having prepped many a patient for surgery, boy, oh boy, I'm going to tell you, if we had done that when I was working in the hospital, we would have had to listen, the surgery schedule would have been a madhouse. They're like, oh, nope, number one is off.
Right. No.
Okay. Yeah. Call the surgeon, tell them they got the day off today.
A friend of mine is an anesthesiologist, and she said, you know, when we go in to speak to them, it's kind of like saying, hey, how are you doing? How was your day? But more importantly, when you wake someone from anesthesia, who have taken the anesthetic, you say to them, hey, how are you? And you need them to recognize your voice. You're not randomly having some stranger call you. You need to talk to them before they go under so that they recognize your voice to come back. She goes, you don't really have to come back. So you have loved ones there to call you out. She said, all we do is bring their oxygen levels up, and we make sure that everything's working, and then we start calling them. Hey, come on now. So even in acknowledging the fact that, you know, it is you that control what happens to your body, and it's you that have more influence on what happens in the bigger picture, we all kind of have to take some responsibility.
Mhm. 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 It's a powerful thing, and it's wonderful to be able to have the conversation and introduce the concept of, you know, how important it is to be in the space of positivity and having a positive attitude towards yourself and towards your body and towards your experiences and towards your life, and really feel that, you know, you play a part in it. And it's everywhere. Like you said, it's not a new concept. It's from the beginning of time. It's in the Bible. It's everywhere. Where we look, and those things that we speak, just like you were saying about, you know, words and how we construct our sentences to say, well, I'm going to try. One of the classes that I took, you gave us a whole list of words that are that make you feel totally powerless, you know, like you have absolutely no control over what it is that you want to do. And one of those words is try, you know, or
right.
Think. Well, you know, like maybe I might be able to get this done if I could just do this, that, and the other. I'm going to try and see if I can possibly, you know, all these
right.
The way we look at things, and it's pretty much you saying, well, I really don't think this can happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And instead of saying, well, no, this, you know, I'm going to do this, or I am doing this now, and just, you know, and really knowing that if you come against a stumbling block, that it's just a stumbling block. It's not something that's going to stop you. So,
right. And I want to be very clear on this. This is not a matter of positive thinking, because positive thinking works against you. Now, if you have to go for positive thinking, and I know, okay, we do this in baby steps. So, if you were starting from scratch, I would tell you to do positive thinking, but it's not just positive thinking, right? Because if you try to think positive while you believe something negative, you are just highlighting the fact that you don't believe something. So if I say, for example, I am going to, I don't know, win the lottery, and you don't believe it, positive thinking don't help you because you don't even believe your words. So you are just reaffirming the fact that you don't believe something and trying to mask that in positive thinking. So what I'm saying is it's not positive thinking. You have to reaffirm your beliefs, and you have to think about, and it's very easy to do. If you talk to only the people that you like, you'll find yourself more happier. But we don't like to do that. We like to say, I don't know why that person doesn't like me. So you want to keep antagonizing an antagonist just to make you feel better. We look for pain to define our humanity. For some reason, I don't know why that is, but we go through life by saying, hey, you know what? We define ourselves by our hardship. So I worked in from my fingers to the bone and started from scratch. And we love those stories for some reason. Those should not be good stories. I don't know why, but every, you know, as time goes on, you start to look back and reflect on why do people speak in that manner, and why is that such a chip for somebody, like a chip on their shoulder, to say, this is what I did to get here. And that kind of sums up why we have so many ailments and stress, is because we want people to believe a story instead of just being, right? Mm-hmm. Be happy. Mm-hmm. I don't explain why I'm happy. I don't explain why I love people. If someone says, why do you love them? And I'll say, why don't you? I don't understand the question that somebody else can judge how you feel about anything in particular. Right? If I like orange juice or I love orange juice, I just do. I can't. You don't have to quantify everything in your life, and you don't have to understand everything. So when we start talking about quantum living and how your thoughts are affecting your reality, people want to know why. And a lot of times, a part of your belief system requires that you explain right down to the letter why something works. Well, I don't know. You know, we don't know all of those things. And it hit me just a second ago. I have a friend who went to Clark University in Atlanta, and she told a story about her professor who walked into the room humming a song. And it was a song that everybody pretty much knew. I can't think of what song it was, but he was humming. And she said, by the time he got, it was in a big lecture hall, and by the time he got to the podium of where he was singing, and everybody started singing in class. And he stopped them. He said, hey, what made you sing? And everybody started laughing. It's because quantum tells us that. Like, spiritually, what happens is that we're connected through common threads, and whatever unlocks the familiarity of your actions makes other people react. So if I sing a song that you know the chorus to, I can sing all the verses, and then once I get to the chorus, you will automatically sing that song, whether it's in your head or comes out of your mouth. You will beat me there. It's just pretty
okay,
much how
we try it.
No.
You knew I was just saying that, though, right? Because I'm already singing, you didn't even start yet.
Because every song I thought of, like from the Jackson 5's ABC, you would have sung all of the verse with me anyway. So you wouldn't have waited to the hook. You would have just got there. or
you know what's funny is even talking about it, I'm ready to sing.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes. So we have some point, you know, gotten to the point where we're starting to understand in our own spirituality that there are things about us, our commonalities, our culture, that allows us to do things that are unspoken, right? There are, you know, how you can walk in a room, and I think it's a Cedric the Entertainer joke where he said if he was doing his comedy show in the theater, he said, if one black person ran down this aisle, everybody will run out of here and go, what was you running for? Because, like, we'll just do it, right? That's a cultural thing. He said, no, people who weren't black will sit there and go, why are they running?
Why are they running?
Yeah, black people know that we don't just run for nothing. So we don't check and see why. We just go, let me go outside
first. I'm out.
First.
I'll figure it out when I get out there. Why are we outside now?
I don't need to know. What happened? You know, why are you ready? But so we have unspoken things, you know, in our humanity that we adhere to. And I wouldn't quantify those and put them on paper for anybody, because I am one of those people, you know, generally as a strategist, that don't like folks to manipulate people. It's funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I do for a living, and I don't like it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, I respect it. I shouldn't say it that way, because it's not a negative. I'm saying that there are things that we relate to, and there are just some things just commonly that we understand amongst each other culturally, and that's nothing. That's not something to be sold.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Professional Style, and I am your host, Kathleen Williams, and we're having a great conversation with a political strategist, Jerome Esprit of Esprit Net News Radio, and this is really an awesome conversation about how to really quantify with quantum physics your life. How do you just begin to, you know, change the way you look at things and change the way you feel about things so that you can change your experience while here on God's green earth. So we are going to take a very quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment. And, Jerome, you know this was Whitney Houston's the anniversary of her passing just passed recently.
Yes.
And so I pulled up a beautiful tribute to Whitney. I think I snatched it from somebody's Facebook page, and I uploaded it. And this is Terrell Carter. We're just going to play a little bit of it, and then we'll just take our advertising break and be back with Jerome Esprit in just a moment. And the number to call in and join us in the conversation is 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. And press 1 if you want to join us in the conversation. Thanks so much for listening. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hi, you're listening to Kathleen Williams, and I'm here with your family first tip.
Wait a minute. That's
week,
not it.
Someone asked me,
hold on.
Can we as a nation prevent another Jovan Bell?
It didn't work. So that's not that one. We'll play the family first pick in just a minute, but somehow or another it didn't upload properly. So I'm going to play another favorite of mine. This is a young gentleman who is just an amazing violinist, and I'm going to play a little bit of this for you, and then we're going to go to our advertising break. Be right back.
You know that the ice cream scoop has the power to make a child smile, and that by slowing us down, the traffic light can keep us going. You know that the golf tee brings friends together, that the mailbox keeps them connected. You know that the cataract laser helps you look to the future, while the pacemaker ensures that there's a future to be seen. You know that the lawnmower, the clothes dryer, and the elevator make life easier, that the blood bank makes life possible. You know that these things we count on every day started as ideas. But did you know all these ideas came from the minds of African Americans? Support minority education today so we don't miss out on the next big idea tomorrow. The United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. Please visit uncf.org or call 1-800-332-UNCF. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Professional Style. I am your host, Kathleen Williams, and I'm here this evening with Jerome Esprit, political strategist of EspritNet News Radio. And you can find Jerome on every night, every Thursday night, rather, at 11 p.m. with EspritNet News on EspritNet News Radio and SoulOfSyracuse.com, and also every Monday afternoon at 2 p.m. right here on Ask Kathleen Network. You will find Jerome on Black Crime, an incredible program that comes on every Monday afternoon, 2 p.m. right here on ACN and on EspritNet News Radio. And that is a program about, and Jerome, I'll let you take that.
Oh, I thought you were going to let me off the hook. All righty. Black on black crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. So that's what the premise of Black on Black Crime is.
And it's a fabulous show. I mean, really great. I have the honor of being the commissioner on that show, and I get to throw flags on people when they commit a black
crime. There you go. And people commit them all the time.
And I even commit them sometimes. I have to throw a flag on myself.
There you go.
We're actually down to the wire on our time now, so I think we've only booked for an hour this evening. So I just want to thank you so much for hanging out tonight, Jerome. This was an excellent conversation, and I want us to revisit it again because it's something that so many folks and that I'm interested in, and so many folks need to hear so much more about. So thank you.
Well, thanks for having me. Thanks for the conversation.
Oh, yeah, it was great. It was really great. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back next week Sunday evening right here on Ask Kathleen Network at 8 o'clock p.m. And Ronnie will be back with us next week. She has something that she had to do this evening. And we are on every Sunday night, 8 p.m.
Look at that.
Every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Call us. Hit me up on Facebook, on Twitter, and send me any, if you want to be a guest on the show, or you know someone who should be a guest on the show, or you have some conversations that you want us to add to our itinerary, we'd be glad to hear from you. So this, again, is Kathleen Williams signing off of Professional Style, and I want to say thanks again to my co-host, my guest, and producer, political strategist Jerome Esprit. And thank all of you for listening. Thank you for calling in from Buffalo, from Queens, from New York City, from all around the country for listening in online. It's been a great time talking with you, and we'll see you next week. Have a great week, everybody. everybody. Welcome back. This is the after show for Professional Style. We're going to go into a little overtime because we still have a little bit left we want to cover. So just like on the Oprah show, this is the after show for Professional Style. So we're going to continue the conversation about our health and wellness and quantum with our special guest and producer, political strategist, Mr. Jerome Esprit. Jerome, are you here with me?
Yes, I am here.
All right, great.
Show, after show, I'm still
the
here.
After show. I love it. The after show. So we're going to just talk a little bit more. I am going to let us take a real quick break, though, and we'll be back in just a second. So for all of you who want to hang out with us for the after show, we'll be back in just a second. Sit tight.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Our Point Counterpoint program, Black on Black Crime, is in your neighborhood. Now, it's not what you think. Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. So check us out every Monday right here.
We all can do to be healthier, no matter who you are or where you are. So let's move.
So here we go. We've got to check it out away.
Let's stretch in the grass.
Great play.
Let's play tag.
What a play.
Let's jump up and down.
Oh, what a way to finish it.
And most of all, let's eat better so that we have the energy we need to play an hour a day every day.
Everyone can play. Just go to letsmove.gov to learn more.
We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We're going to beat them and bust them.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call or visit fatherhood.gov to learn more.
Moms everywhere are finding ways to keep kids active and healthy. Get ideas, get involved, get going at letsmove.gov.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Professional Style on Ask Kathleen Network. And this is your host, Kathleen Williams. I am here with my guest, producer, and co-host of the evening, Mr. Jerome Esprit, political strategist and host of EspritNet News Radio and Black on Black Crime, which airs right here on Ask Kathleen Network tomorrow and every Monday at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You definitely want to tune in to listen to Black on Black Crime as well and join him on Thursday evenings at 11 p.m. on EspritNet News Radio for all the news that you usually don't get on all those programs that you think are news but really aren't news, like Fox News, which isn't news. And I got that from Jerome.
I know.
So welcome back, Jerome.
Fox News is
welcome
not news.
Back, Jerome. Fox News is not news.
Right.
So where on the after show for Professional Style, I just want to, you know, let you bring you back up to speed on what we spoke about if you weren't with us for the regular program of Professional Style at 8 p.m. on Sunday evening. We talked a lot about really working on your mindset so that you can have what you want in your health, your body, your wellness, just all of that, and really talking about it in a quantum physics way. And Jerome Esprit is our expert in quantum physics, and he's penning a book under the same topic. Is that right, Jerome?
Yes, quantum living is based on quantum mechanics and quantum physics. Yes.
Awesome. And we have a guest on the line, and I am going to open the mic, and just in case we have a question, let's just see. A caller from 631 area code. Hi, how are you? Oh, I know who this is. Hey.
Hello.
That is our co-host, Ronnie.
Sneaking in.
I didn't know who it was.
Is it hilarious? Good evening.
Good evening, Ronnie. How are you?
Oh, I'm just wonderful. How is everyone?
Doing good.
I threw you off.
No. She wrote you off. She said, Ronnie won't be with us today.
Oh, did she wrote me off? She had written me off totally, but I decided that I just couldn't stay away.
See, there you
I'm
go.
I'm so glad that you came on because we were, I just told everybody that you had something to do this evening, so that was, I was letting
them
know.
And then I finished it early, so I thought, I'd love to join you.
I'm so glad you're here.
Yes.
Cool.
So how's everything going? It's very cold this evening.
Are you cold?
Very cold. I was out and about, and it was very, very cold. It was actually snowing. Did you have any snow, Jerome, today?
Just a light dusting, but it is really cold outside.
Really? Because it was warm earlier today. It was actually, a really warm, nice day this morning when I went out for church. So I haven't been out there. But I was wondering why the house felt so cold lately. I thought it was just me.
No, it took a turn for the very cold.
No, brother. And I thought we were heading into summer.
I know.
I thought we were heading into summer. But I wanted
So what did I miss? What did I miss? Bring me up to speed.
Incredible conversation we've been having about health and wellness. And Jerome has been talking a lot with us about a quantum way of looking at things. And so that you will have the health, the wellness, and whatever it is that you are wanting for yourself without stressing over it. And so, Jerome, I just want to ask you to give a little highlight of what we talked about earlier so we can continue in that conversation.
Well, I thought about that when Ronnie said that. Ronnie, I actually gave an example of how we're interconnected and how we're interconnected culturally. Like if I was to sing a song, and by the time I get to the hook of the song, everybody listening will actually be singing the hook before I even got there. And it just kind of shows that we have these common threads amongst us that are kind of unspoken. Like, for example, I used a different example, but I'll use this one because I remember this day like it was yesterday. I remember going to a funeral. And at the funeral, this guy, he was legally blind. He had a cane, but he can see. And you call up people who want to say a few words. And so this guy gets up, and on the way to speak, he was humming. And by the time he got to the podium where the mic is, he was saying the words of the song, and the mic just very faintly picked up his vocals of him singing. And as soon as he stepped in front of the podium, the choir stood up, and everybody in the church was singing the song that he was singing.
Wow, amazing.
I turned to my mother and I said, I love black people. I didn't know how to quantify why I loved my folks, but that, my friend, was a prime example. Nobody had to cue them. Nobody cued the choir. Nobody did anything. He said, when they finished, he said, I just felt that song in my heart and I wanted to sing it. I didn't ask y'all to join in. He didn't say that part. That was me. But it was cool. There's something to be said about this unspoken cultural experience that we have and that we're just not appreciative of. But I really appreciate it.
Yes, beautiful. It is. It's wonderful. It's just what I think one of the connecting forces that make us as dynamic as we are. That's what I.
Yes, and the one thing about in talking about quantum living and quantum and making your body healthy is to know those things that make you healthy and happy. So that made me happy. I love that, and I can express the fact that I love that, which doesn't take anything negative. I didn't say, and I don't know, there could have been negative people there saying, why is he taking so long and why is he singing? But it actually brought joy to those of us who were there in the spirit of remembering the person who passed. So, you know, instead of always focusing negative on life, you do your health a great deal of justice if you only focus on those things that you like.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yes.
It is. It is. And we were talking about, you know, also as you focus on the things that you like and you then, you know, if you're around or doing always things that you like and you're around people that you like and everything, you just feel better, you feel happier, which reduces the amount of stress in your body, which also then reduces the likelihood that you will be experiencing what we call dis-ease. And, you know, and all those things that we talk about, how just holding tension in and anger in and negative emotions in and not letting those things out and just kind of putting yourself in situations and circumstances and around people that make you feel uncomfortable leads to more stress, which leads to more anxiety. And you can look at jobs this way. You can look at, you know, friends this way and all kinds of things. So it's important to think about how much we do to and for ourselves that presents the what we call dis-ease and discomfort and so forth. And paying attention to your body really, you know, when you, I don't know what that is. When you, if you pay attention to your body, that will, your body will always tell you when it is beginning to experience discomfort, right?
Right.
The opposite of comfort. You can feel it if you're tuning in.
Right.
And so go ahead.
Yeah. And a part of that was just to say that you have to listen to your body. You have to listen to yourself generally. And so there is Dr. Fred Alan Wolf spoke about this before and said the only way to rewire your brain is to ask yourself a question and don't answer it. Right? The way that you change the way your behavior is to understand that there is a behavior that you or something that you do, that way you can change it. But if you justify it, if you rationalize why you do what you do, you'll never change your actions. For example, if you drive the same way to work every day and you don't pay any attention, you're always going to drive that same way, right? But if you drive that same way and you acknowledge it, you can consciously change the way that you go. Now, if you acknowledge that you're driving the same way, but you rationalize it saying, you know what, I can take 2 more minutes off of my route, you will never change it either. You just have to change what you do if you know that it's bad for you. If you know that whatever your actions are not healthy, if you're not getting good outcomes, if you're meeting the same type of people, if you're having bad relationships generally, you have to do something different to change your outcomes. And it doesn't matter if it's your health. It doesn't matter if we're talking about your social life or how much money you have in the bank. They're all connected through the same, they have the same thread that goes through all of them. It's your behavior and your thoughts that do it.
Sookie now.
Well, that goes with the saying, if you keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results, there's like a state of insanity at hand.
Yeah, but, you know, I have to say, someone used that earlier. I was on a show earlier today, and someone used that. And I had to tell them that saying, that if you do the same thing over and over again and expect different results, is it's a sign of insanity. That's an oversimplification You can tell somebody that, but when they grow up, you have to tell them something different. You can tell that's a little kid statement, right? Don't do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result, right? It's not so easy to subtly change your behavior. So sometimes we keep our behavior because we rationalize our behavior. That's why we won't change it. So as adults, you rationalize what you do. You know what I mean? Like you say, hey, I, you know, take out my food before I leave for work so that it thaws out when I get home, right? But you don't ever anticipate like a traffic jam or having to work overtime, right? So your food is going to be crazy at home if you just left it out. Like you have to expect the unexpected if you go by that logic that we have to that everything is always going to be the same every day, right? So if I had to say, if you do the same things over and over again, expect different results, that's a matter of insanity. You can only apply that to specific things. But generally, how life works is that you feel it out. We are living beings. And so your cells, when you talk about your body, is its own ecosystem anyway. So you have these, you have trillions of cells. You have many miles of intestines in you. Like I mean, the veins and arteries and all that stuff. Miles of it in you, like about 8 miles. And so if you have all of that in your body, there is a whole highway traffic system inside your body that's at work while you're sleeping, right? So we have to acknowledge that since we are our own mini universe, that we have to take care of all of our thoughts internally to make that healthy so that we can do something else. So that is the premise of looking at yourself kind of through a spiritual lens opposed to a physical one. Because a physical one just says, do what you see on TV and keep up with the Joneses. That's not paying attention to your body. That's not paying attention to your surroundings. That's not paying attention to anything but mimicking someone else. So some of those things just apply to you interacting with other people. But what we're talking about in the spiritual sense is paying attention to yourself. Be selfish. Yeah. Being selfish is not a bad thing. Only bad when you affect other people.
And so many people feel like that is a bad thing.
Being selfish
is a bad thing. So that's another transformation, you know. Another concept that people can think about and say, well, why do I think that's a bad thing? And usually it's something that our parents have taught us also, just like we were talking earlier about, you know, telling your children, well, that's going to be hard or you have to work hard to be successful and so forth. So, you know, that's another thing. Don't be selfish, you know, share. Don't be selfish, you know, and being selfish is bad. And never saying, okay, well, there's times when you have to think about yourself first. Very important that you think about yourself first, that you think about, you know, what's healthy for you and what's appropriate for you. There are times where, you know, being selfish is the right thing, you know. And so you just have to think, define what selfishness is to you. And then think about why you think, you know, why you may think that's wrong. And then just tweak that a little bit, you know, just tweak it so that you know that taking care of yourself is not selfishness, whatever that means. If taking care of yourself means that, you know,
that you're selfish, you should be selfish. You should take care of yourself.
And if it means that you shouldn't be, you know, that taking care of yourself means not hanging out with this group of people, then that means being selfish, and that's a good thing, you know. So you just kind of have to look at it and quantify that first before you just make this blanket call that selfishness is a bad thing.
Right. All we're talking about in your selfishness also is deliberate intent. So when you wake up in the morning, you affirm what it is that you want in life, right? On this day, I've been, you know, fabulously wealthy. On this day, I've been radiantly healthy. On this day, I've always been filled with joy. Whatever those affirmations are to you, don't think of them as being selfish. Just be, right? You get a chance to define your day, define it. Don't think if I want to be happy, that means somebody else has to hurt. That's not true. right? Your happiness doesn't hurt someone else. And if it does hurt somebody, someone else, you have the wrong people around you. Don't worry about them not liking you anymore. You know, so that's always the hard thing I have to say when I, you know, speak to college students or I'm speaking to groups and they ask, you know, how am I supposed to take this, because they are going to not take that well. And I said, you have to understand something. If you want a bunch of positive people in your life, you need to understand that some people don't want to be positive, and you might not have friends that are the old friends that you used to have, right? So it's kind of like being wealthy. You can't pray for wealth and say, I want to keep it real and keep my same people, live in the same house, stay in the same neighborhood, because the neighborhood doesn't adhere to wealth around it. It really just doesn't. So you have to kind of know what you're expanding. To get something, you have to give something else up. You just can't have them both. It's the law of the universe. It's called the universal law of polarity. The universal law of polarity is to have something, you have to give something up. To give up. To love someone or to be loved, you have to give up hating someone. Or hating. Right.
Wow. Good stuff. Really good stuff. Thank you.
I feel like Ronnie had a question. I think she was going to interrupt me. Ronnie, you can go ahead.
Hi. No. I was actually just listening because earlier having that very same conversation. We were having that same conversation because, you know, that's a conversation that comes up amongst fellow men every day.
Uh-huh.
How not to be selfish but to care for yourself. I don't think that you can put caring for yourself under the selfish umbrella, but people perceive taking care of yourself as a selfish act because most people don't care enough for others to make sure that they do care for themselves.
Right. And doesn't that feel like a tongue twister?
It's a tongue twister.
You know, and you know why it feels that way? It feels like a tongue twister is because we have pretty much been duped in the definition of being selfish because we believe that selfish is negative. Now,
yes.
I say if you have kids, you having a being selfish and going to job to bring a paycheck home helps out your family. Is that technically you being selfish, or are you giving to the people who you need to support by waking
exactly.
up every day and going to work?
Exactly.
Right? So you can see how confusing that is.
It's very confusing. But we live in a confused society.
And see, and this is the point of talking about quantum and quantum living. You don't have to be confused. So you don't have to use a word like selfishness if it has angst to you.
But
right?
if you don't take care of yourself, you're a burden.
You don't have to even say that. You could just take care of yourself. Why would
right,
you have to
but I mean, most of the time, if you don't take care of yourself, you become... You become not an asset to your surroundings. You become a liability, actually. So I don't know why we always harp on selfishness. I think self-centeredness is what people really mean.
Right.
And even that is taken too far.
Right, because then when you talk about self-centeredness, you're talking about ego. And ego issues like that come along with that. But selfish, when you're being selfish, you're thinking about self. But if those words are confusing, stop using words that confuse your thought process, right? You don't have to use any negative words if you don't like to use them. So I like
Good.
To think of things as affirming, right? And so if, you know, I tell people all the time when you feel angst about, like, when someone asks you for a favor and you're like, ooh, I just not want to tell them no, and now I got to back out, my leg hurt. And now you have to make excuses and lie because you want to do. And I said, here's what you do. Here's how you stop angst in your life. When someone asks you to do something, tell them no. And when you get used to telling no, then you won't feel so bad about saying no. Just say no. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
if you say no first, you'll realize that if it's something that you want to do, you can always tell them yes later. But if you say yes first and you don't want to do it, no cause angsting you. Because now you have to figure out why you need to give them an excuse because you need to tell them no.
Right.
Feels better to say no first and then tell them yes.
And I think that another thing, too, it's like if you tell somebody no, why don't they want to, why aren't they willing to accept that? Why aren't they willing? But why can't we understand that sometimes people have to say no?
What is it in us?
Is that the self-centeredness
No, that's the point that we're talking about, right? You don't have to figure that out. That's not your issue, right? So spiritually, you don't ever pre-think what somebody else may be thinking because they come with their own package of baggage and other things that make them the person that they are, right? So you don't have to pre-think how anybody feels about any word that comes out of your mouth.
Mm.
You can say no and just be okay with it.
Yeah.
I know this is tough because I get yelled at this about this quite often, that women don't think like men that way. So I do understand that sometimes you want a little bit more of an explanation of why it is. But I say not until you get to the point where there's no angst in your body about using words, you can't explain it. Because lying to yourself or to someone else is lying to yourself, and it creates the same environment inside of your body. Because you're going to feel some kind of way about lying, no matter what. So even if you lie and say no, you can always say yes. But technically, it will hurt you a whole lot more to go back to tell them no to try to figure out what kind of excuse to use to tell someone no. It has a longer residual effect in your body from having to think that much on it. So instead of not worrying about what someone may or may not think about what you're saying, it's not your issue. You'll realize that that's none of your business to think about what they're thinking. Why am I in your business? My fault.
Right. I love that. You actually being nosy. That's hilarious. You're actually being nosy. But, yeah, that's a good point. But it takes courage.
It takes courage to not be
negative.
Well, yeah, you'll find that it's not as courageous as you think it is that we're conditioned to care about what other people are thinking, so it traps you. So we're in a society that has been, since the advent of television and radio, I guess, it's been their job to program you. It's like, eat Pillsbury biscuits. Like, they marketing just says, we want you to want this particular breakfast here every morning, so we're going to make it cool. Marketing just does that. It tries to get you in a mindset so that unconsciously you will want, Doritos. Like, you'll want a product. So the television, that's their main function is programming. So through society, it's like everybody wants the white picket fence, the two kids, house, and a dog kind of thing. And when you realize that you've been programmed, the hurtful thing is finding out that you are, and then it's the challenge of unprogramming yourself, trying to undo some of that stuff. So your freedom comes into your freedom of not caring about how that system views you when you want to do something else. You shouldn't want to be like the Joneses, but you should actually be happy for the Joneses if that's what they choose to do.
There you go.
Yeah.
Have you
ever heard of the Yoruba religion, like with Orishas and Oshun and all of those type of Orisha stuff? It's funny. I was, and I know a little bit about it, but I was reading something recently about it, and it said that is pretty much the only religion. It's an African religion. They said that's the only religion that does not care what religion you are, right? So that religion says if you worship a fire hydrant, being that they believe that God is in everything, you're just seeing God through some other object, but God is in everything anyway. That religion believes that no matter what religion you in, as long as you believe in God, that's cool, and you are free to worship. That is like the coolest thing I've ever heard.
That's the first thing I've heard that about that religion.
Yeah, I mean,
I know that they believe in God is in everything, but that's a new.
Yeah, and they believe that every religion is free to practice their religion because they're not the ones to tell you where God is, because they believe that God in a quantum physics way, right? The God particle, we're all connected. Physically, we're all connected. So since there's an illusion of space in your room, there's dark matter there. So since there's not only the physical matter and the air that you think that you're breathing, there's dark matter that's going through your body, I think about a couple million particles per second. And what happens is that since we can't see it, we don't believe that it's there. But we're always connected. So it was cool to find out that religion has, and to know that to build great things in a great society, in great societies, they actually believe in their spiritual connection more than they believe in separating themselves from everyone else. So they have a religion that says you can worship whoever you want, and you can do whatever you want, as long as you believe in God. That's cool, you know. But no other religion like that. Religion's usually used to conquer other lands.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought religion was used to praise God. Well, for the most part.
You would think that. See, now, that, again, we won't go into history. I know we're still kind of on a cusp of Black History Month, but we won't say how the missionaries bought the Indians smallpox and blankets and stuff. People use religion to pacify folks just to slaughter them in the past.
That's true.
You know, whether we're talking about the so-called Dark Ages and all of those crusades and stuff, but religion is gang territory in some areas of the world.
It's true. It is true.
And on that note, I will get us back to the health conversation, and just looking at the various ways that all of us can really identify with what it is that we want for our lives and see how we might be contributing to having it or not having it, and whether we're paying attention to our bodies, paying attention to the feelings that we have about things, to the feelings that we have about people, feelings that we have even about the things that you yourself say. Sometimes I'll say something and just kind of catch myself and be like, oh, that didn't feel good, you know. Saying something about yourself, not saying something about yourself. For example, when I hear someone say, you know, oh, my God, I'm so fat, oh, I look terrible today, or, you know, that kind of thing, it just doesn't feel good when you hear someone say it. And if I've ever caught myself saying it about myself, I'm like, ooh, that didn't feel good, you know. And just even saying those things holds a certain energy and a different feeling in your body that just starts to, you know, it's like the little foxes, as the Bible says. It's those little foxes that spoil the vines, right? So it's just an accumulation of things that you may be in the habit of saying repeatedly or in the habit of doing repeatedly, day after day after day after day. And after a while, you know, you start to respond to those things and your body starts to respond to those things, not unlike the some things that you might be eating that don't agree with you or whatever. So, you know, we're just talking about your personal health, your spiritual, mental, emotional, physical health and wellness, and the many ways that you can contribute to your health and your ease or to your dis-ease by the things that you say and speak and do. So this has been a great conversation. I think it's been really very interesting, Jerome, to talk about quantum and quantum ways, you know, the quantum living, as you call it, and how that really impacts us, whether we're aware of it or not. So really very important conversation to contemplate and think about and try to incorporate into your personal life, your personal life for your professional style. I like the way I worked that in there.
It works. It works.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Professional Style. I am your host, Kathleen Williams, and I am joined tonight with my co-host, Ronnie, who came in. Thanks, Ronnie, for joining us. I know you were doing something at the first hour, so you joined us for the after show, which is awesome. And Jerome Esprit, political strategist extraordinaire.
Uh-oh.
Jerome Esprit from Esprit Net News Radio is here with us tonight talking with us about quantum living. Also, we are wanting to let you know about professional style you're listening to, but wanting to let you know about Black on Black Crime, which will be airing right here on Ask Kathleen Network tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. Join in. I happen to be the commissioner on that show. Jerome is the host on that show. And it is a show that discusses... Go ahead, Jerome.
Oh, yes. You know what I was hoping you were going to say? What's on the show tomorrow? Because I have no clue. It talks about Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they want anyone else. So we usually try to talk about situations or people who are just unnaturally criticizing someone, in areas they just won't criticize the greater society. So Black on Black Crime truly is a show that fights hating on one another. It's a positive show. Although
yeah,
name on Black Crime.
Yeah.
that would be my quantum contribution, right? To change the word crime to be positive.
Right. That's awesome. So you can listen in every Monday afternoon at 2 p.m. right here on Ask Kathleen Network, same phone number, 2 p.m. on Mondays. And you can find Jerome Esprit on Thursday nights at 11 p.m. on Esprit Net News Radio. Listening to all the news that you really need that you won't hear on most radio and news stations. So check him out on Thursday evenings on Esprit Net News Radio and at SolarSyracuse.com. So, folks, we're coming down to the end of our program. I want to thank you again for Jerome for hanging out for the after show, after the show, Professional Style, which is awesome. And Ronnie, thanks so much for calling in to the after show of Professional Style. And we hope that all of you have a phenomenal week.
Absolutely.
Coming up. Yeah, have an incredible week. Stay warm. Stay really warm, dress warm. And we will see you back here again next Sunday evening at 8 o'clock p.m.
Okay,
Eastern
have a good
Standard
week.
Time. Yeah, have a good week, everybody. Jerome, have a great week, and I'll see you tomorrow at 2 p.m. on Black Crime.
All right, you got it, and see you later, Ronnie.
Bye now. Take care.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us. See you next week.